Welcome to the Hello, the last episode of our Christmas special. We're very happy to introduce you Coach Carlos Freed, who's working with EuroLeague team ABBA Berlin. Coach Carlos tells more about the program and the culture within the ABBA family. Enjoy the huddle.
Hello, coaches. Welcome in another part of our Christmas special today. This is the last part, and I think also a very interesting topic that will be touched on in this episode, especially for coaches and people who are really working on the coordination of a club, a club culture. Because today, in this part, we have the honor of presenting to you Coach Carlos Frade Centeno, who is actively working at ALBA Berlin, EuroLeague team. And maybe as a first question, Coach, I will always start with how are you doing? And maybe second question, could you explain to us what your current role is at ALBA Berlin and what you're doing on a daily basis?
Okay, good. Thank you for inviting me to your show. And it's very, very nice to be able to share our thoughts about basketball and how we do things. And I'm very happy for that. Thank you. And good. I'm doing very well. We are happy in the club, in ALBA, and then the things we are trying to implement or trying to get better as we do it. And well, there is the competition, the EuroLeague and the German League give us a good chances to test ourselves, but our focus is never the immediate competition. Our focus is in the long-term development of the club, development of the players, development of the coaches, and this is what we aim for. And this is a very, I think, important thing, because often at competitive level, at any level actually, people try to think too much of the short term. And one of the good things I think we are trying to do with better or success, it doesn't matter, is that we're trying to have this philosophy down from Imar Ojeda, the sports director, and Marco Baldi, the general manager, and down to the rest of the club on focusing on the process, focusing on the day by day, and focusing on trying to do the things we believe in with better or worst luck at some games at some point. Well, my job in Berlin, since I came, is divided in three major areas. One is the player development coach with a professional roster and with the top prospects of the second team too. Then I'm kind of a player development coordinator from the coaches for the under-16s, under-19s, second team, and also helping these last couple of years. Also, we're trying to develop the female side of the club a lot, and I'm trying to coordinate the efforts of all the coaches that we have in that part of the program on trying to be all in the same page and trying to develop the same type of ideas and philosophy and methodology. And this second part is very closely related to the last part of my job, which is the coaches development area that we are trying to work a lot in the last 2-3 years. And not at the beginning when I was here, but we are doing that lately better and more intensively. And this player coach development area is something that I'm focusing my attention a lot lately on trying to help our coaches to be better coaches and to be better teachers, and because we believe that is going to make the whole difference in the long term on how much the players improve.
Yeah, it is, and that's also the reason why we launched this podcast and our small organization of Tip Off, because we always focus on making the players better, but sometimes we tend to forget, yeah, we also have to improve our coaches. Because the more we improve the coaches, the better we will improve our players at the end. And it's good to hear that somebody from ALBA Berlin, which is a top team in Europe, has that same vision. And Coach, today we wanted to talk about a little bit the philosophy and the development program at ALBA Berlin. Mike and I, we saw a clinic of you a few months ago where you presented some slides. And it all started, the first slide, if I remember well, was our philosophy is making the players better. Could you explain a little bit how that works, how you work to that?
Yeah, if I want to try to share the screen, if you don't mind, let's see if I can do that properly, sure. Which I'm not expert of. Okay, I hit You have to like some kind of allow me to do that. That does not allow me so far.
Okay, so maybe
I, clicked, Mike,
I think Mike is the host right now. So
okay, yes, now it's possible.
All right. Tell me if he's properly seen or not, because maybe he's not. Okay.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. There we go. Yes, very clear, Coach. Thanks.
Okay, this is what we said. Our idea of making, like you said, making the players better. This is where we want everybody to focus our efforts. And we understand that not all of them would be able to go in our first team in the future, but we want to push that improvement as an everyday goal in order to get the maximum, like, highest number of players from our program in our team. And if they are not, for some reason, I'd be able to play in our team, they'd be professionals if they want to do it. And that's one of the things I think we're also helping a lot of our guys to be professional players, that they have different paths and different speeds and different roads that will take them to be professional in the next 10, 15 years. And this is what we're trying to do, okay? Our idea of how it's organized according to the German competitions and stuff is like this. We have several teams. This is like kind of old, it's not updated slides. So there's some mistakes, okay? But just please oversee that. And so we have a few under 14s teams that we don't have the best players on one team, the other players on the other teams, that we try to even that up as much as possible to like make that get together for the next step in the under 16, which is called the JBVL competition in Germany, where we have three teams. One team is our team, the other two teams are like cooperations with other clubs, where we have especially first years JBVL players, junior cadet players. And then we have the junior team, which is under 19, and in Germany is a very good thing. That is 3 years of junior, is, and in Spain is only two. And I think it's a great, great idea and great measure to have 3 years of juniors. And in Germany, that's the way it is. And so our biggest prospects of the under 16, they are also with the under 19. The under 19s, they are with the second team, and some of them with the first team.
Okay.
And in the second team, we have a cooperation with the third division team, with the Bernau team. And then the like 5-6 of our juniors are like full time with them and playing with a good competitive level for them. And some of them are also with the first team in practice, depends on injuries, depends on how the season goes, pre-seasons for sure, stuff like that. And when the junior player is competitive enough and good enough, like Jonas Matysiek when he was younger, Franz Wagner when he was younger, other guys too, but then we give him a chance to practice with the first team and maybe play if they deserve. Mm-hmm. And this is basically the idea. And we want everybody to have a competitive environment to grow. So when we feel their age is not enough, but then we move into the next group, like the most of the teams do in the world. It's not like we're discovering fire here. But it's important to evaluate and judge that very closely and very continuously, because in order to go through the steps, and it's very important not trying to run too fast. And many players, many families, many agents want to run too fast, because they think their boy or their girl is going to be the next Ricky Rubio, and this is not happening. And every kid, boy and girl, have their own speed, their own path, and speed up the process is never beneficial, never. And it has to be patient with time and try to fill the gaps slowly and wisely, because sometimes be with a superior team in age for a while and then come back to the team is the right thing to do. Not just because you go with the older age team, you have to just be with that all the time. There's some moments where you need to come back to it. There's certain things that you cannot achieve on the superior team that you need to do with your age. Mm-hmm. Okay, that was a basically the general idea and what we trying to implement in this in our program is what we call is everything underlying and the concept of intensive training is what we want our coaches to teach, our coaches to make the players learn, which is based on intensive training of the mental aspect of the word, not of the physical demanding aspect of the world, understanding that there is some practices will be very highly demanded physically, but none of them should be. And there's different moments of different times to do that, but all of them have to be mentally demanding, all of them. Okay. And mentally demanding doesn't mean you have to punish anybody or you have to make suffer anybody. It's just you have to create the environment so the player has to be focused and concentrated. The intensive training concept comes from the idea of that everything we do, when we have the right focus and the right concentration, helps the brain development, helps the speed of the neuron connections, and help the decision-making process. This is not just said by me. This is proved scientifically. Mm-hmm. I'm just picking up ideas. And we believe on the same way that watching a TV show that just entertain me, but does not make me think, does not help on my brain development. Doing a Sudoku or doing a crossword helps my brain development because force me to be focused on something, whatever it is, that something. And we base that idea on what we want to do on training every day. And if a kid is, 60 minutes on the court, we want those 60 minutes to be continuously focus on trying to make the right decision at the right time.
Yeah.
Okay. This is basic idea. Please interrupt me anytime. I'm trying to talk about what you guys have in front. And please, if you don't need to interrupt, I'm very happy if you do that. Can you see that full screen now?
Yes.
It is.
Okay. So our whole thing is understanding what is happening and trying to explain, try to make the players learn when we do something, why we do it, and make them react on the right way given the circumstances that are happening. That forces us to run away from mechanical repetitions or what happens on the court. We don't believe in this. We believe on changing the environment around it, the situation that we're working on. So the player has to adapt and has to make decisions all the time. Depending on how good or how not so good the players are, then you can involve more or less decisions. And you can make it more easier or more difficult according to the skills that you want them to learn. But you have to adapt and adjust that to the level that you have in front. And because there is always a way, and in many clinics they ask me, you can do that with like mini basket children, and like absolutely, you should do it with any age, with 6-year-olds, 8-year-olds, it doesn't matter. Obviously, the task you have to give them, the choices gotta be simple enough so they can do it, and they can enjoy doing it. And it's not if you force them to do something they are not prepared, it would be a waste of time. Mm-hmm. But it would be a very easy little game the children play that are easy to adapt and easy to force them to make simple decisions and try to, the whole idea comes from what I think is play while you watch, play while you are watching what is happening. The best players in the world, in my opinion, they're not the best shooters or the best defenders or the best rebounders. The best players, to me, they are the best players, the players that make better decisions on the court. And in many cases, happens they are the best shooters too, for instance, right? But not. They're, in my opinion, they are not the best because they are shooters. They are good because also they're shooters, but because they normally make the right decision at the right time and they get advantage with that. Mm-hmm. So the ability to play while you're watching what is happening on the court and react accordingly and make decisions, this is what to me makes the difference. And this is, we have the philosophy that is possible to be trained. So a player that when he's 14, many in all the clubs in the world, we have players that when they're 14 or 13 or 15, they say, ah, he doesn't understand nothing. He doesn't understand nothing. He cannot, he doesn't know what he's doing. Mm. That's pretty normal. And that's, in our opinion, it's something to be to trained. And somebody like 14 years old doing that, when he's 18, he can be a totally different player and understanding what he's doing. But has to train a certain way. We cannot expect the guy to grow and in these next years suddenly start understanding everything. But if you don't train the decision making every day, if you just train the decision making when they play, you will not guide that learning and that process the same way, and it will be a lot shorter and maybe work, maybe doesn't. So we believe on training this way every day as a tool to make the player understand what is happening and be able to play while the player is watching what's happening on the court.
Coach, I think it's really important. You also said it in the beginning that you as a club, all the coaches does the same. And this is most of the time a problem in clubs that Coach A does this, Coach B does this. And this is, I think, the biggest problem to improve the players, that there's not one thing.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And we can go later, if you guys remind me later about how we organize that. And I can explain you that later. But as you said, it's a very important point. And we always talk about this. We go, the most clear example happens on this is on shooting, the shooting corrections. We all have players in the club that we see them shooting and say, oh, this technique is that. And all the coaches think of something different and all the coaches want to help and everybody wants to correct something. Mm-hmm. And this is not allowed. This is not happening. This should not happen. This is a problem. And this behind that desire of everybody to help the player, which is great, doing it the wrong way creates a bigger problem than it was in the development of that player. And that's why it's so important everybody's on the same page and we all know what we are correcting to that player, regardless if I train with that player one time a week, one time a month, or every day. I have to know what we're talking to do to or talking to this player so I don't correct something else, even if it's the best correction ever. I cannot do it on my own. We are a team of coaches that we have to work together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's true. Coach, maybe one question on this slide. And the right block, it's the reaction and decision making. You say that there are both team and individual sessions. For example, if you take a look at under 14 or under 16 teams at Alba Berlin, how much individual sessions are there per week? Is that one, two, or even more?
Let me try to find the right slide. Okay, it's more or less here. I will talk a little bit about that. Basically, what we want in our organization is be able to train with quality. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, and in our opinion, especially when I came here, it's not like the players and the coaches worked a lot when I got here, and it happened in many clubs I've been in Spain too and before. But work a lot doesn't mean you work well, and doesn't mean you're using your time efficiently, and doesn't mean you're going to get better. That means you're going to go a certain way. Because if I want to go from point A to point B, maybe practice a lot and not taking care of all the off the court issues doesn't take me to this point, takes me to this point. Mm-hmm. And this point might be good too, but it might not be the point I want to go. And practicing a lot of hours is only good if the quality of what you practice is good. It can be good to practice a lot if we want to install in certain people the spirit of sacrifice and play under fatigue and play under certain conditions, mental conditions, at some point, but not as a principal of a club. As a principal of a club or of a team, we believe on if you practice wrong because any reason, because your school is stressing you, because your family, because the children have many things, so it's understandable. But if your practice is not good, it's better rest and come tomorrow. It's like quality has to be good. And quality has to be good because coaches prepare, because coaches are ready, and because players are ready, and because we work on the quality of the technique aspect, the skills we work on, and because of the decision making we work to apply those skills. Mm-hmm. Basically, what we do is we pretend we want our players to have 14 practices of the 5 weekdays and 2 games on the weekend because of how organized the German competitions and in Berlin. In the most of the cases, it's possible for us, for like under 16s and under 19s. And depending on how, on which team is the player practicing or playing with, we try to have 2 games, 14 practices, and depends on the player, 2 or 3 individual practices in the mornings.
Okay.
Apart before going to school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In Berlin, it's especially difficult to organize that because the distances are so big between sometimes where the kids leave and where they go to school, our practices gyms are, but we try to organize that. We are more than 10 coaches in our player development program, and we try to do it the best possible way in the different gyms we have and in our facilities.
And do they start morning practice?
Depends, sometimes 7, sometimes 6:30, sometimes 7:30, sometimes 8, sometimes 9. We try to do it as late as possible so they can rest more. So we get a chart where we have the times they have to leave the gym in order to be on time for school.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to do it as much as possible. And then after understanding that we want them to rest as much as possible at home and also when they have to practice. So we try to organize that. It's not easy to organize in a city like Berlin. And with our gyms, but we're trying to do it that way.
Coach, I have one important question, and it's a question: if a club like Berlin does that, some smaller clubs can do it also. You already mentioned it, that the importance of school and everything. If school is important, you don't have to come to practice. You have to tell the coach, but you don't have to come. But you as coaches or you as Alba Berlin, you have contact with the school, you know about results or everything?
Yeah, of course. We have a person in charge of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to be in contact with the schools. We have our players and we try to be in contact with families and we try to make clear our purpose for everybody. And it's not acceptable having problems in a school, understanding that every children, every player is different and they not all are like great students and there will be all types of them. And we have to find a way to help everybody so they can also do basketball, but they have to understand that. And we try to make that clear since the beginning. It's mandatory. It's not even a question in how important the school, the education and their culture for them. And when we have players, like everybody has kids that they dream with being in the NBA and this and that, and they just think of basketball all day. But they have to understand that nobody wants dumb players and nobody wants players that are not capable of understanding, of judging, of learning, of improving. And school, and not only school, but the other things they do off the court too, are very, very important for them to create that mindset, that mentality, and that learning ability. And even if they don't like what is in school, some of the topics for sure, but they still have to do it and make the effort to do your best, which is another very important topic for us, to do your best regardless of what your top is. And nobody knows, but just to try to make that effort. And if the school is tough for you, but do you make the effort to do?
Yeah, the question why I ask it is, I think in Belgium and certainly other countries also, coaches are basketball coaches. And I think sometimes they forget that there is more than basketball, then the education is important. Like when a kid, he calls, coach, I can't come to practice because on school, it's busy on school. There are some coaches who said, hey, you, it's not possible. You understand what I mean? And this, mm-hmm. I think coaches need to be more, and that you have to talk more about with the parents, with the kids, about education and basketball and the way it's it fits together.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And the a big part of my job is making everybody understand the idea of player development in our club is not idea of player. It's just not just player development. We're talking about person development, and we're talking about all the things that we do. We must understand there is a person in front that is different from the person on their side. And we have to treat everybody differently because everybody has their own different world, and we have to try to treat everybody fairly. But the idea of that individuality, the individualism of every player, every person, it's very, very important, because in the same way that now at top level, nobody questions the importance of individualizing the conditioning and strength training, like it's the same with everything. Mm-hmm. With the development of a player, each player has to have his own goal. What is that thing about our goal for a team is this, that? Well, that to me, that doesn't make any sense. Our goal for our under 16 team, for instance, is not a goal for a team, it's a goal for players. And when we get goals of these players reached, then as a team, we will do that, of course. But that's a byproduct of it. There's the decisions for us have to be made on the individuality of the person, and everybody has his own speed and everybody has his own process, and no, we cannot try to make them to have all the same speed.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay, and related to this, if you allow me to talk about this, for us it's very important this goal setting as a group of coaches, and we have several meetings during the year, especially the first one at the beginning of the year, where we talk through all the players and to set up the goals for all the players individually. And how we organize that is talking about the goals, so long-term goals and short-term goals, and the short-term goals involve short-term skills and specific skills to work on, and we break that down with priorities, and we try to attack closely that little skill that means that is the first step to be taken in order to achieve that long-term goal, and be able to make the right decision and reevaluate ourselves several times during the year in order to see if that player has achieved that or not, or if we have made the wrong decision or not. Maybe we made the wrong decision as coaches and we focus on something that after 3 months we say, no, this is wrong. We got to change that goal with this guy and try to do this other thing, which is perfectly normal. And this is part of the process. It's impossible to be 100% exact, like fair and accurate on everything. But it's important to have the ability to adjust and the ability to reevaluate and understand that we will make mistakes. And at the same way the players made mistakes, the coaches will make mistakes. So this is long-term, and so our short-term priorities, skills, and goals is very important for us. Mm-hmm. And well, basically, this is another thing we try to do also is the in many clinics, they ask me, because when you talk about development of a player, you talk about a typical guy that cannot make left-hand finishes. Do you work with the right hand to make him very good with the right hand, or do you work with the left so you make him decent with the left? What do we do? And we believe, we believe in both. We believe in doing both, and we try to focus on the first part of the year more on the weaknesses, and then the second part of the season more on the strengths. And we believe it's important to do both. And understanding that as the player gets older and he becomes closer to the professionalism, is very important. They are good at something. They are very good at something. It will be very important for them. And that doesn't mean they should not be able to do nothing with weak hands, but it's very important as it is, eliminate weaknesses, it is potentiate strengths. So we're gonna try to find the balance of both and try to work equally on both.
Yeah, we talked about this morning with another coach, and it was just the same. We said it, the weakness is your best strength to do the best strength. What I do like very nice in this thing is compare with someone to clarify with.
I really like the idea of continuously also working on your strengths as well, because if we teach the young kids in our club nowadays, and we do like the boring shooting form drills as a warm-up, shooting technique and rhythm. Yeah, most of the players don't like to do it. They don't want to do it, but they don't know that even a Steph Curry, all those NBA players on a daily basis, they take the same shots. They start in the bucket and they go and they build it up. So it's good that you mentioned it as well, that we got to keep on working on our strengths, how no matter the level we play on. So thanks for sharing that.
At some point, you need you want your player to feel unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do that, because you need their self-esteem to grow. That's as important as the other things. And mm-hmm. and if you don't fuel that with working on their strengths, they will never feel like that. When everybody has played basketball, even at the bad level I have played, there was some games that you remember the rest of your life when you felt like, even you're playing with friends, some days that you felt like nobody could stop you and you had that day you couldn't miss, right?
Yeah.
But in order to do that and to feel that, the good players feel like that every day. I felt like that 3 times in my life, but good players feel like that every day. And if you train certain things, you would make that happen more often and the player would feel better more often. And you have to, as a coach, as a planner, you have to think and balance those ideas. So it's not only one or the other. It's just, you know, getting a little bit of either.
Mm-hmm. No, very interesting. Another thing I was curious about. In the beginning of the presentation, you talked about the mental aspect on the court. And also, you see it sometimes like more the brain training, to that people, players recognize certain situations. Yesterday or a few days ago, I think it was on LinkedIn, I saw a post from a youth coach who examined his players. So they worked on individual skills against different pick and roll situations, for example. They did it the whole week. And at the end of the week, there was like a small test for the players to see if they still recognize it, if they remembered some things. Do you think that's a good idea to make like small tests, or is that something that you won't do at elbow relief, for example?
It's good, the idea of find ways to evaluate your learning and how the players learn. It's good to try different things to do that. And I've been asked for this many times. You have tools, like especially here in Germany. I'm from Spain, and we are in general terms we're a little bit different than Germans. And Germans, one of the good things they have is that methodical way of organizing everything, which I don't have, and I would like to have. But sometimes they are too systematic, and they want tools and measurements for everything. And the idea of trying to, you gotta excuse me, I need to go for a second. Okay.
Yeah, no problem. Go ahead.
Give me a second.
Yeah. Ja, ondertussen, hè, Mike, terwijl dat we even wachten op de coach voor de kijkers. Hè, als er bepaalde coaches zijn die vragen hebben over de presentatie van coach Carlos of over het programma, stuur ons gerust een bericht of een mailtje. We hebben een bepaalde documentatie dat we gerust kunnen delen met jullie daaromtrent. Dus,
sorry, oké. What I was talking about, I forgot.
About the examination that the German people are really
they always were asking me if you have a way to measure this and how we measure that. Okay, it would be great to have ways to measure everything, and now in these days the data are so important for everything and analyzing, and this is good. But in many of these things, sometimes I have challenges to do in drills to check some of this stuff. But in most of the cases, at least in my way of working, is more a subjective evaluation of what I see and the perception of what I see on the court. And I try to install in our coaches, in our youth coaches, the idea of how to do that too. And I think that develop that feeling coaches is very important. It's really difficult to measure. For instance, how do we decide? Normally we have a list of priorities for each player, right? Mm-hmm. So we want with this player, we need our first priority is a left hand attack, and second priority is his mid range shooting. Third priority is his off the ball defense. For instance, I'm just guessing. So on this left hand attack, the skill we want to work on is on the advanced dribble after crossover. So just a specific something that we try to work on. excuse me. I'm losing my mind. I lost track exactly now what I was saying. Help me with this, because I lost track of what I was just saying.
Yeah, that you about the player, he wants learning point one is the left attack, two is that.
Yeah, but I was saying that, Jesus. You have to cut this. You have to cut this from the whole thing.
No problem.
No, I just got what I was saying. Sorry.
That's okay, coach. It's okay.
We're talking about the priorities and their learning.
Yeah, I had the question about the exams that were.
Yeah, I will come back to me. Yes, please keep going, because I will come back to me.
Just a question about the priorities. You have it's very specific. It's like you say, priority one is the left attack, two is this. At what age do you start?
I got it now. I got that. Yeah. Good. Yeah. How do we decide when to move on from one priority to the other, one skill to the other? Yeah. And there is one, there's not, it's not a tool, but it's an objective interpretation of the reality we're watching. And for me, it's when we consider the player has applied successfully the skill we work on in an improvised manner. And if that happened, I consider that the player has interiorized that skill learned. And ideally, we would need more than once that to happen, but just to get the idea of what we're trying to do. And this is what we're trying to get with our practices, trying to find environments, tasks, and situations where the player has to apply something unexpectedly, because we create that situation. And if he applies something when he doesn't know, she doesn't know what is going to happen next, and he applies that successfully, then we consider that is learned. And if he applies that in a game situation, this is the signal to change priorities and keep growing on that. But this is how I told you how difficult it is to measure that and find like objective tools to measure that. If that coach found some test to do where he can measure that and evaluate that, that's great, because this is very difficult for me to do.
Coach, at what age do you prefer to go really specific in points to improve?
Sorry, I didn't hear the question well.
No, at what age do you want to say specific things to improve, like the left-handed layup? That is it under 8, under 16, under 14, under 12?
No, we in this part we only focusing our efforts on on my department on the under 16 and up.
Under 16, okay.
You think there is other part of the club to do that in the under 14s and at the younger level.
But you think it's important to do on the under 14 to get really specific, or it's more global?
Yeah, I think it's important to get it done. And it's important more global, but the same way I have explained now that long-term is more global. Okay, for instance, we have a 16-year-old that we consider our global vision would be we want him to be like a tall point guard, because we believe that is going to be a good success for him, and he can be successful as that version of himself. Mm-hmm. Oh, good point guard is going to be, we believe, with decent shooting ability, but with great ability to drive to the basket, get fouls, big presence, and stuff like that. is not always it's not always easy, and the long term global vision has to be approached with a lot little short terms and specific points of view of different things that will take you, those steps will take you to the long term where you want to be. So I could say it's one without the other is nothing. But understanding that the younger the players are, the more difficult it is to have a full long-term vision of how that player, because in, especially when they're below 16 years old or that age, they still haven't matured physically. And somebody who is little and skinny might end up being 210 and strong. And somebody who is big and little chubby, it might end up being 187 and little point guard. So understanding that when they are younger, that it's very hard to define the long-term future, but we still consider having the vision is important, having the ability to evaluate yourselves is very important, and have, because that gives you the accuracy of the short-term steps that you're taking along the way, and be able to change them if you are wrong.
No, that's interesting, Coach. In a club as Alba Berlin, if you talk about player development program, I think you guys all also focus on video analysis. Do you have something to share on that and how you work with video analysis? Do you look with your players a lot? What are the main topics that you or points that you get from a video session, for example?
I don't have it, and that's not part of my responsibility. It's the assistant coach's job, and but this is the foundation. But you're right. It's the foundation of our work on the professional team, and this is something very important to share with young coaches, especially they are watching us. I think, and Alba, you watch a EuroLeague. We're a little bit different than the most of the teams in how we play and how everything is. I'm not saying that we are better or worse or nothing. I'm just saying that we are different in many senses than the rest of the teams. And one of the things that we believe is importance of the post-game video analysis to improve our team. And we, on the amount of hours we spend watching opponents and watching ourselves, is a lot more watch ourselves, a lot more. Mm-hmm. So even at professional EuroLeague level, for us, scouting is not that important. And we try to, there is in the last 20 years is a big weave in for scouting and video analysis and try to analyze every little thing with data of the opponents. They do this, they do that, they do that, it's important, it's very important. But that cannot, in our opinion, that cannot be in the way of improving your team. And sometimes when their teams, when the coaches spend such a big amount of hours studying opponents and talking to your players about your opponents, imagine what you could improve if you talk about yourself. Mm-hmm. And this is our thought. The only continued factor that you will have every week in your games is you. The opponents will be changing every time. So what's the point of focusing on your opponents every time as a major, as a main thing? I'm not saying not doing it. We also do, of course. Mm-hmm. But the main thing for us is us. And if we do pick and roll defense this way today, the next opponent will do that. We'll try to improve what we did last week, trying to do this other way or the same way or this and that. But we don't focus that much on what they do. We don't scout plays of the opponents. They call this three up, three down. They do this and we review on the court. This. No, we invest that time improving our sets, improving our skills, improving our decisions on the court with our offenses, our defensive principles, and try to be solid and loyal to what you do. And every week, try to adapt a little bit, obviously, to what the individualities of the opponent. But the main focus gotta be in your team. We believe in this, and because it's what is gonna make you improve more in the long term.
I really like this. I really, really like this that you put more time for your team. And yeah. You're gonna improve your team like this. because they don't want to, they just want there are more players they don't want to know about the opponents, but about them. And I think it's a really important thing for coaches to do. Sometimes think more about your team than about the other team, because what you said is correct. You're spending more time with your team, and next week you have another opponent, and your team stays all the time.
Exactly. And there's also another reason for this is the amount of information. And then and it also involves video analysis and data analysis. I believe that information helps, and using the right way helps. But in my opinion, there is an absolute, like, out of control excess of information now that makes coaches be too much time thinking too often about things that are not that important, and forgetting about the basics of basketball, the basics of what is important. And understanding that it has to be data analysis, it has to be video analysis. Even at the lower level, not only EuroLeague level, there's sometimes coaches that they talk about, like they spend hours and hours talking about the plays the other teams run and even their plays they run. And the player, as they have on their team, they don't even set proper screens, and they don't even are able to pass the ball off the dribble with one hand to the right spot at the right time. Mm-hmm. And they catch the ball looking at the floor, and they dribble the ball looking at the floor, and they set moving the screens. They don't run fast break with the lines open on the wings. They travel every time they want to attack one-on-one. Every time they want to stop, they travel with there is a defensive pressure. So those are basics. They don't pivot the right way. They shoot over defenders instead of trying to get free shots. They shoot crashing into defenders instead of trying to get open shots. And if we spend coaches in general time about improving the decision-making and the skills of our players, it doesn't matter what offense you play. It doesn't matter what defenses you play. Mm-hmm. They will adapt and they will be better. And this is the belief.
Yeah, because also the same, we did a lot of podcasts now, and we always talk about, and one of the things of Tipov is creating a philosophy. But if you're creating a philosophy or you're creating a mindset in your team and you always change it because of you're playing to another opponent, yeah, you're not creating a philosophy. You're just adapting to the opponent. And I think this is really important for coaches to think about this. If you want a philosophy, stay with your philosophy. And okay, you can adapt some things during the game, or if you know they play this, you can adapt. But the important thing is stay at your philosophy and don't change every time for another opponent. Try to build the best in what you do, and then the little things adapt.
Yeah, exactly. This is the idea. If you see our professional team playing, many times, I mean, we have specific sets and specific plays for specific moments, like everybody, obviously. But many of them is just a way to start, and then is a series of readings and decisions made by the players that we don't even know what's going to happen in the next action, because they act according to what they do. They see on the court. And to develop that, you need a lot of drills, a lot of patience, a lot of work in the first parts of the years, time. And that involves very hard games where defenses like kills you and you cannot score, and it seems like everything is your work is not working. But in the long term, doing that every day helps the players to learn to play. Mm-hmm. And when the players learn to play with your ideas, they will adapt to other ideas too, and they will learn the basics of playing. And it doesn't matter the set you do. That's a common thing, and many people, in my opinion, they make mistakes. They're giving too much importance to the sets or to the screen, like to the offenses. Mm-hmm. It's important the spaces, the angles, but it's important the timing and the reading and the decisions you make with whatever. The best offense in the world, if it's badly executed in timing or pass at the wrong moment, it will not work. And then it's as simple as that. That's why we believe in the long term. The benefit of that is that your team is a lot more difficult to be defended. Like if your players don't even know what's going to happen next, obviously the other team will not know. Mm-hmm. It's hard to scout like that.
That's correct. And it's nice to hear again that you say you have to look at it at the long term. And it's always easy to say as a coach, but then it's important to be in a club where everybody breathes the same mentality, the same philosophy. And in the beginning, Mike said something about it. Yeah, you have to work towards with the same methodology that you are one team as a coaches. And you asked us to remind you at the end of the presentation to explain us how you do that at Alba Berlin. How do you make sure that all the coaches are one team and they work towards the same goal? So maybe it's the moment to share some thoughts on that.
Yeah, I can tell you right now. Everything starts from the top. Everything starts from the sports director. And you have, as a sports director, you have a philosophy of how you want things done. You have to get the people that buy into that philosophy. Mm-hmm. And how many clubs in the world, they spread the word of saying, no, we want this, we want this, we want the youth, the young players to develop and this and that. And then they sign a head coach for the first team that is known because not putting young players on the court and just putting veterans and try to take care of his job, which is understandable. I don't criticize. It's a good idea. It's also another way. It's not our way is not good and the others are wrong. No. There's a million ways. But if you have this philosophy, you have to bring the people for that philosophy. That's why with the ideas Imar Ojeda had and bringing Raul Rodriguez out as a head of the youth program, bringing me as a player development coordinator, and having Aito as a masterpiece of everything from the head coach of the first team, which is known for developing young players, makes sense. Mm-hmm. And could work or not. We could lose. We could, in the first 2 years in Berlin, we didn't win nothing. And we were very happy. We were all very happy. We worked together well. We enjoyed the time every day in practices. The atmosphere was great. And the last 2 years, we won a lot. But we were equally happy. We were not happier. I mean, we were happier for the moment we won. But after the celebration, the next morning, you forget about that and you're just happy because you did. But we were equally happy before because how we did it and the philosophy that we are trying to install in Alba in these last years. And I think that first you have to bring the right people that is according, like agrees and likes your philosophy. And then the people that are already in the club that they like that philosophy too. And it's also a natural process that there are some people that don't believe in the same ideas and they go to other places where they feel they are more comfortable with their ideas, which is fine. Again, it's nothing wrong with this. And then that's one, bring the right people. Number two, continuous interactions between people. That to me, that's not the number one. More than one meeting or two meetings in our ability as a club to be in the same page for all the youth, first team, second team, junior, under 16 coaches and players. I'm talking about more coaching staff. Mm-hmm. The ability to be everybody in the same page comes from having meetings. Germans love meetings too, but having meetings to clarify ideas, that's always important, but it's not as important, in my opinion, as it is the continuous daily interactions between people and sharing ideas. And we have a little facility, but the coaches we have the advantage in Alba that we have a huge amount of professional coaches. We're talking about 40, 50. And we learn 80, more than 80 coaches that are full and part-time, so at all levels. So it's a huge amount of people, but the coaches that we are in this facility, juniors, cadets, second team, first team, we're more than 10, 12 coaches, men and women. And we spend a lot of time together here. We eat together often. We have coffees together. We share practices together. We share rooms. We spend a lot of time. And that gives you the possibility to exchange ideas, information, debate, laugh with each other, smile with each other, help each other with the problems they have with their own teams and their own practices and everything. And that continuous interactions between us is what makes the whole thing grows faster and more secure in the same page.
Yeah, very nice. I think this is something we have to do more. Also, in the beginning of the season, it's something maybe, I don't know, it's in Alba or in other clubs in Spain or something, but if you start coaching for us, it's a lot of young coaches. They start coaching in at a team and they don't know the philosophy of the team. They don't know what a team stands for. And this is really a big problem. And then you already start on islands. So if they don't know this is what Alba is, or this is me, Gunnar and me are coaching in Conte, this is where for Conte stands for. And then you have a problem. I think you have to describe it in the beginning of the season, every time again, and during the season also. This is what we want.
Yeah. And it is important also, and I think it's very, very key on become successful at this. The idea of not forcing it, not obligating it, and in the process we have had here, it's been a gradual process of convincing and showing and also proving that being more or less successful is a good way to improve for coaches, players, and it's a good way to enjoy our work and enjoy our life and be happy with what we do. And it can happen, and this is something we try really hard. It can happen, like we are lucky enough to be in the sports we love and get paid for that. And that cannot be a suffering source. That has to be, we have to enjoy, because there's many people in the world that has jobs they don't like. We have the fortune of having something, our hobby became at some point in our lives, became our job. Mm-hmm. And you have to be grateful forever for that. And enjoying that is a responsibility that we must have, but also is a key to make it successful. And in having said that, it's important that the people that they are into the same idea that we are understands that everything is part of a process. And it's not like an obligation to do the things that we do like that. In some areas, we had to change habits that they had here. But obviously, that's something we had to do. But it's been a process, a gradual process that the coaches have seen and the people have seen that at some time work. And maybe somebody come here in the future and they change everything and they do something different. And they are very successful. That probably could happen too. But I think for the time we came, and the time we've been here, but at the time we came, it was the right thing at the right time because of that situation. And again, maybe could be more successful the first team doing other things. Maybe the youth program could be more successful in terms of winning wins at that team. But I think we have found a pretty good way of enjoy what we do, be happy with the people around us working, making the players improve, and try to win as many games as possible at all levels without sacrificing the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I can totally relate with that. It is, at the end, if you look at sports at the highest level, EuroLeague, it's almost talk about wins or loses or losses. It's all about result, but I think in youth, especially in a program as Alba's program, I think you really have to focus on that process and the development of a player. And one of the best sentences that you said in the beginning of this podcast was it's not only about developing a player, it's developing a person, a human being, because the relationship that you're building with your players goes beyond basketball. If you talk about school results, for example, family. So I think this... It's a great value to have that kind of relationship with your players. So I'm really happy that you wanted to share some thoughts on that, Coach.
Yeah. One thing I want to emphasize too regarding what you just said, and I cannot agree more, is that, for instance, we're in the last years, we've been one of the youngest teams in EuroLeague, probably the youngest. Mm-hmm. In the EuroCup, we were too. In the German League, we have been winning or finishing second. We've been the youngest teams in the league too. We are very proud to have been able to have 5 Berlin players on the court at the same time in EuroLeague, and 5 players from our youth program to play together on the court, 4 players playing on the court, not only winning by 40 or losing by 40, but in situations, in games. Mm-hmm. And this is very important. because that fuels up the whole program. And it's a mirror for our kids that they have it and they are here in the court and they share, they cross paths with Jonas Matisse, with Malte Delo, with Tim Schneider, with Niels Giffey last year, with any German guys we have. And it's a mirror they can look at and they can actually think, I have a chance. Mm-hmm. If I work hard, if I improve, I might have a chance. This guy, don't bullshit. Don't, in terms of, they tell me I'm going to have a chance and then never give me a chance. No, because this year we have Rico Schulze almost yesterday. Luckily, he couldn't play yesterday, another junior. Christoph Thiele played two other games. Franz Wagner, obviously, was with us, was already on the court with 16 years and something, and playing Eurocup final. And German League final, not even 17 years old. And that shows there is a space and there is a will and there is a desire. And it's important for everybody to have that in mind in our club, all the youth players. But it's important for the youth players, and I want to emphasize this here, that, and I want to say it very loud, the youth players we have from our program in our team are fantastic persons. Fantastic persons like Jonas, Tim, and Malte, all the other guys that were here before too. Like, they are great people. And that's why they're also here. Because if they were idiots and they were not humble to practice, they were not humble to listen, they were not willing to work, they would not come smiling to practice and interacting with other people. If they're not the way they are, they would not have the same chances, for sure not. Mm-hmm. And we believe in this. We believe in creating this. And enhancing this and letting everybody know how important for us is not only to be a good player, but be a good person. And this is a must have quality on you as a player.
Mm-hmm. No, totally agree. And yeah, I'm happy to, I know the Alba Berlin, the under 19 team, will play a tournament in Belgium in a few weeks between Christmas and New Year. But I don't know if you know, but my father is the organizer of that tournament, and I'll be there because I always drive with the referees and the teams. Now it will be limited because there will be only one competition for the men and the women. But I remember that a few years ago, I was responsible for some teams, and one of the teams was the Alba Berlin under 19 team, who was invited to the tournament. And those guys were so polite. They were so disciplined. They showed much respect. And I think that's something that you guys created in the program, because all those kids want to do is just to play basketball and they want to give back to the community. They learn so much. And that's the importance of having such a extended development program.
I also want to say, according to what you just said, that I totally agree. It comes from many of these good things come obviously from a lot of years before me or we arrived. Mm-hmm. Here, like the education we saw, and I saw when I came to Alba, the education and the good manners of all the kids, coaches, and everybody is unbelievable. And it was always unbelievable. A lot before we arrived, we tried to maintain that, something we reached, they reached in the past, and we're very happy to hear you saying that. And if you see any bad behavior on our kids when they go there, please tell me, okay? Because we don't want that to see. But and a funny note, saying this, I was 3 years ago, we played in Hospitalet in the Christmas tournament, the junior tournament, a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was with the kids to play there. And we were, it was this funny anecdote here. And they were having dinner, several teams having dinner in the same place. And our guys finished the dinner and left. And there was beside us, there was another one Spanish team. And look, I'm from Spain, okay? So both teams left the room. And I made a picture of both tables after they left. And it was the German table. I can only say our table, but the German table, because I'm more like the Spanish one, not like the German in this area. But no, I understand what I'm saying. So the German table was after the meal, nice and tidy, and there's only one chair out of position and one spot that was not like good finished and good done. the Spanish table was a big mess, like huge mess. The chairs everywhere, the cups, the plates, everything was a big mess. The German table was nice and tidy, and there was only one wrong thing, which was one foreigner. Okay. One foreigner kid we had. And this is a funny thing, but because, again, this is something we found here, and they are fantastic kids, fantastic coaches, and they are very, very well educated. And they were for years, a lot before we arrived here, no question.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Maybe one last question, because Mike is a great fan of him as well. We all know that Coach Aito, he retired last year. But
No.
He's down to the Lodi, yeah?
In Alba, he retired at Alba. I just wanted to know, is Alba still in touch with him? Because, and he's a great coach. He's also one of our dream guests to be on our show one day. Because, we're great fans of him. But are you still in touch with him, sharing thoughts on basketball or?
Not as much. At the beginning of the year, he came back to Berlin a little. But I think now, because he told me he was doing a lot of different stuff and resting and doing some clinics and some conferences and stuff, but just trying to take it easy. And now that he had got himself this new activity in Badalona, working with the youth players there, now it's obviously impossible to do that for us. But I know he stays in touch with some people in the club, with our coaches and because he's always, I think he always will be one of Alba in terms of, he matched so perfectly. He helped us molded our forms so good, and he was so much the way we want, and we are so much the way he wants. And I think it was a perfect fit at that time here, and that helped us a lot to improve.
No, that's great. But we can't forget as well that you and the coaching staff that is currently working on the development program, because we always look at the EuroLeague teams and then we see those head coaches and we think, oh, those are our dream coaches or our favorites. But we may never forget the efforts that have been put in by coaches working on the younger categories. Like this coach, I really respect you as a person, because you're not only a basketball coach, but you're also a person coach. And you try to make the better persons. And I really like this presentation of yours. I hope that our coaches who are listening, I hope they are watching today and not only listening on Spotify, because we really like the visuals as well, because it's always nice to talk about topics, but if you can visualize it, it's even better sometimes. So I really want to thank you for your time, coach. It was great.
One last thing before I say goodbye. One last thing, talking about this, that also, not talking about player development, but coaches development, our coaching staff now, he's grown from within too. So Israel now is the head coach, was a few years assistant coach of Aito, but Thomas Page was a head coach in the BBL years, but he was coming from our youth program too, and he was assistant coach for years. Mm-hmm. Sebastian Chonka was another of our youth coaches that went to the second team and is assistant coach on the first team. And now, these last weeks, we also have Vladimir Vovoyevich, which is the coach of our MBBL, of our under-19, current coach of our under-19 team, that is, it's been the last weeks with the first team. And we want to also offer and guarantee the path for our coaches to grow and to improve through our program, and we cannot be more proud of that.
As we said in the beginning, it's not only about improving our players, but also improving our coaches, and then we will get the best results. So I think that's a great quote to end this great conversation, coach. As I said 2 minutes ago, thanks a lot for calling in from Berlin. I suppose you're calling in from Berlin. I want to wish you all the best. Wish you a happy Christmas and a good start of 2022, coach.
Thank you. The same for you. Merry, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And stay in touch. Okay. Thank you very much for your invitation.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye, coach.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Huddle. We believe it's important to help coaches develop their vision and philosophy. If you have any question or comment, please don't hesitate to contact us. Enjoy the next episode.